And you know, my daughter Lauren, she's married now and been married for, gosh, 6 years. And in high school, she ran cross country. And I would train with her on my motorcycle. I'd ride right there beside her while she's running. "You're doing good, Lauren." And I would be tired after she was done. 5 miles, I'm like, "I got to rest, you know." But anyway, you know, I'd go to her cross country events, and I'd go to each of the mile markers, and I would stand there as she ran up, and she would run up saying to me, "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" I go, "Lauren, you got 2 more miles. Pace yourself." Well, you know, I'd cut across the field to the next mile marker because she's wanting to know how much energy to exert because she's not at the end yet. So you save some stuff for the end. She's not at the end yet. I cut across the field, get to the next mile marker. She comes running up. She doesn't say a word, but "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" Doesn't say hi. Says, "How far, Daddy? Oh, you got another mile? Pace yourself." I cut across the next marker. She would see the finish line. She wouldn't say a word to me. Her countenance would change. When she saw the finish line, all that training was for right there. So something was different. She didn't get to the end and go, the finish line. Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if I should really know if it's the finish line or not. Because I was told all my life you can't tell where the finish line is. Well, this morning the things we talked about were the finish line. So when you see the finish line, you accelerate. You're all in. All the training's for right there. So all the teaching we've had over the years about our authority, the name of Jesus, that we can have what we say, all that's for right now so that we can walk like sons of God. Amen. Because you are the previews of the millennial reign of Christ. Can people get around us and see what the Lord is like? Remember, Jesus told them, he said, "You tell them when you get near someone, the kingdom of God's come nigh unto them." Woo, come on. Can you say, "Hey, just get close to me, you can get a miracle"? Amen. I like that these guys call each other the GP, God property. Amen. That's your address. He lives in you. Amen. God likes mobile thrones. He likes mobile homes. So you're a mobile throne. Amen. You look at the Ark of the Covenant and the Old Covenant, and you get a thought pattern for what he thinks about you. Everything is very precise about the Ark of the Covenant. You couldn't even go near it without very much precautionary measures to make sure you were purified because God's living in that box. Woo, hallelujah. Grab your Bibles, and let's get into the Word tonight. Why don't you turn, if you would, to the Epistle of John, and we'll get into the Word for a little bit. Is everybody happy?
Yes.
Remotely happy? Semi-happy, kind of happy. Happy, happy, all right. All right, praise the Lord. I'm in a wild mood tonight, and I just hope it's God. We'll find out. Amen, 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 amen. Because I have several things that I want to preach on, and the Lord's kind of moving me a different way, so I'm going to follow Him. Go to the Epistle of John. I don't even know where I'm going. Did I say John? First John, yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this wild group that came out on Sunday night, Lord. They're hungry. We're hungry, Lord. We love you. We're communicating to you that we love you by being here. So, Lord, we thank you for instruction tonight. Thank you for great boldness tonight for all of us. We ask you for an impartation of your spirit of boldness to walk with God. That, Father, I ask you to make every person in this room spokesman for you right here before the coming of the Lord. We thank you for great grace upon them. And, Father, we thank you for such an endowment with power from on high that things would even seem easy to walk with you. So we thank you for it, for demonstrations of the glory of God, demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit, demonstrations of your hand, Lord, with the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise. We lift up your holy name tonight, Jesus. So, Father, this equipment that you've given the church, we thank you for you displaying your mercy and kindness right here before we leave. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. You know, I don't want you to go there, but in John chapter 14, Jesus told them that first Philip said, "Lord, show us what God looks like." And Jesus said, "Man, if I've been a long time with you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And then he said, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, or else believe me for their very work's sake." In other words, you're looking at a representation of the Father so close that you could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he instantly turned it back on them. He said, "Hey, if you believe on me, the works that I'm doing, you're going to do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because they're going to my Father." And he was basically saying, just as I'm showing people the Father, you're going to show people the Son. So amazing that he put it right back on us to go, okay, just as he is a representation of the Father, you're a representation of the Son. And he gave us a couple of keys to look at to be that representation. Number one, authorization. Number two, presence. Okay? He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And then he said, I'm going to put God on the inside of you. So two keys to make it easy for us to demonstrate Jesus. So anyway, whenever the Lord tells you to do something, he always tells you how to do it. He doesn't just go, you're on your own. He goes, no, I'm going to authorize you, and then I'm going to put God on the inside of you. So you've got the authority to claim it, and you've got the presence to bring it to pass. It's a dual working, really. It's amazing. So we know when Jesus walked on the earth, he operated as a man, didn't he? Remember Philippians said he emptied himself of his glory, stripped himself of his glory, and came and walked as a man. And the devil hates us to talk about that. Because anytime you see a devil and you say Jesus came in the flesh, the devil won't say that. He doesn't want to admit that Jesus in the flesh as a man defeated Lucifer. Woo, hallelujah, amen. So if he stripped himself of his glory and walked as a man, but yet he told us we'd do the same things, I need to figure out how I can cooperate with God and be just like him. Because you're the previews for the next 1,000 years. Right now the Bible says you're tasting of the powers of the world to come. Wow. I don't want to taste them. I want the whole thing. Like we ate at Jim and Nick's today. If you gave me a piece of that sausage, I'd be irritated. I want several. So right now, God's got us in school basically for the next 1,000 years. Because at the rapture of the church, you're not done. We think of the rapture being the end. No, the rapture is a beginning, not an ending. I hear people go, well, I don't want the Lord to come back because I got so much in my heart. It's because you're going to live forever. And you have 1,000 years of cooperating with God and the gifts of the Spirit. You're tasting of the powers of the world to come, so you're not done. So we should learn those things. So that's what I want to get into tonight, is how we can cooperate with God and function as we ought to function, because you're not done at the rapture. Now, I don't have time to preach on the millennium tonight, but I've taught on it several times here and got into that. Well, the millennium is going to be a very natural 1,000 years. And he's raised up you as overseers. Israel will be the head of natural nations, but you will be the spiritual judges. He told Paul, why would you take something to court when you're going to rule angels or judge angels? And that's just the beginning. That's not. I don't have time to get into an hour message of what the millennium is going to be like. But you have a function during that 1,000 years. You're going to be raising people up during that 1,000 years. Natural people that are sinners, the Bible says when they die as a child at 100 years old, and they're accursed, they go to hell. Indicating the saint, when he has a wreck on a motorcycle, you go over and raise him up. You walk right through the wall and go, man, it's a good thing you live in this dispensation. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. You've already seen it. It's called a word of wisdom. That's one of the 9 different gifts of the Spirit. One of the revelation gifts. You see what's going to happen before it happens. I could give you thousands of explanations of that. But see, we're not done. We're eternal. And then you have 1,000 natural years to function with God in a glorified body. Thank God. Never to gain weight again. Hallelujah. Amen. Never to get tired again. Hey, how cool is that? How cool is that? That won't be in our vocabulary. I'm tired. You'll never hear that. So we've got wonderful things to look forward to. So let's get all we can get now so that we're not playing catch up when we get our glorified body. Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter is about walking with God, walking in the Spirit, learning how to cooperate with God, being led by the Spirit, to the point that you're like that before you get your glorified body. Because it'll be really easy when we get our glorified body, but why not have a heads up before you get there? Hallelujah. So hang with me just a little bit. I was in preaching in Tucson. Man, I'm going to get to what I'm going to preach on tonight, but I won't go all night. I want you to come back. Remember, John Osteen said, he who preaches short shall be heard again. I was preaching in Tucson, Arizona, years ago, like 1990. And the Lord was talking to me about reality TV back then. I even got up and said, what's the most popular reality TV show on? Because now everything's reality TV. I mean, you got Life Below Zero, you got Cooking Show, you got House Show. Everything's reality TV show. In 1990, there was hardly any reality TV shows. So in this church I was in, Bruce Brock's church in Tucson, his mother's name is Louise, about a church of 2,000 people. She used to play the organ for William Branham. So I loved to go there and talk to her and go, man, tell me stories about Branham. Branham operated in the word of knowledge so much, people would walk up and go, you're Alan, you play the piano and you hurt your back and people are attacking your pastor. Yeah, you're healed, boom. Next thing you know, the person walk up and go, you're Cindy so-and-so and you slipped on the porch and broke your back. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. You watch the videos of it, the guy operating in the word of knowledge, just bizarre. So I talked to her and enjoy being there, you know. So I'm there that time, and the Lord had me say this. I said, what's the most popular reality TV show on right now? And this man yelled out, Baywatch. And I go, that's not reality TV. Trust me, that's not reality TV. So I was like, dude, you kind of showed your hand right there what you're into. So I'm like, dear Lord. So I began to talk about A.A. Allen, because he was one of the healing evangelists in the 50s. And then I talked about Brother Shambach that worked for him. And I'd just been in some meetings with Brother Shambach. I had him tell me the whole stories. You remember the story in Birmingham, Alabama, the tent meeting, 10,000 people. There was a baby there with no arms, no legs, no eyes, had a hole for nose, hole for mouth. And the woman had been coming to Brother Shambach because he was the crusade coordinator for Brother Allen. Brother Allen had a miracle ministry. You should YouTube him and look at him preach. It's crazy how they preach. Look at this man. The devil's all over him. They were real showtime, go time. God's man of faith and power tonight. Every single one of you under the sound of, I mean, it's just crazy how showtime. They were all 1950s-ish, you know, like under the big tent tonight. We'll have miracles for every single one of you. I mean, it was just weird. So this woman had brought her baby from Tennessee that had no arms and no legs. And she'd been telling Brother Shambach, when's Alan going to pray for my baby? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, if your card's not called out, I'll make sure somehow Alan gets to praying for your baby. Come the last night of the meeting, Brother Alan said, we're going to take up a faith offering. And Brother Shambach was playing the organ. He said, I didn't understand that. And Alan just said, well, it's an offering you can't afford. This lady with the baby came down and brought $15. I guess she put like 10 bucks in and only had $5 to get back to Tennessee. Shambach was concerned for her. He got off of the organ, walked down, and looked, saw how much money she put in the bucket. That's scriptural. Jesus watched how much they gave. Well, it gets quiet when you preach that, doesn't it? Well, Brother Shambach was concerned for her. And then Alan gets up and starts preaching. I tell you, in the last days, they called themselves, if you look at their voice of healing, from the 50s, End Time / Sign Gift Ministries. You know more Bible than every one of them because you've been taught so well. They just knew a couple things and they had miracles, but they focused on Jesus. So he's up there preaching. I tell you, the Lord's doing great works in these mighty hours of the day. You know, all this kind of stuff. It's kind of cute watching them. And he said, wait a minute, here comes a word of knowledge. Watch this. Wait a minute, I'm not here. He said, I'm in an OB ward in Tennessee. He said, I see the doctors looking over this baby. They said, there's no way the baby can live. He said, but the baby's alive. He said, I see you driving over the Tennessee-Alabama border. And boy, Shambach's ears perked up. He goes, that's that lady that's been hammering me all week about her baby. And Alan goes, bring that baby down right now. They brought the baby down, no arms, no legs, no eyes. A hole for a nose, hole for a mouth. Brother Shambach said, I normally close my eyes when I pray. He said, but I wasn't going to miss that miracle. He said, I stood right there in front of it. He said, it sounded like cordwood snapping. Snap, 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 snap. Little legs grabbed on that baby. Little arms grabbed on that baby. Eyes started swirling, and the baby was recreated right there in front of everybody, right over here in Birmingham. He said, the people began to scream and shout because they watched the goodness of God right there in front of everybody. He said, you know, the next thing you know, everybody quit looking at the baby, which that's pretty hard. Looked over at the stretcher section. 300 some odd people on the stretcher section, not a hand laid on them. Every single one of them instantly healed. Boom. Now see, we haven't seen stuff like that. Doesn't mean God is still alive, not dead. Come on, amen. Well, they quit looking at the stretcher section. There was a busload of blind people that were lost, couldn't get to the tent meeting. And they were late getting there. The baby gets healed. The stretcher section gets healed. They turned around. As the busload of blind people came in, every single one of them got their sight. And I was telling that story there in Tucson, and this man walks up to me afterwards, and he walks up to me and goes, hey, I'm A.A. Allen's son. I go, sure you are. I'm Billy Graham. Nice to meet you. Because I'm so used to people playing jokes on me, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know who the guy was. He looked really older, and I thought, he goes, no, I'm A.A. Allen's son. I forgot Alan had moved his ministry to Tucson, to Miracle Valley. I didn't even think about it. He'd moved his ministry there. And he said, those miracles were great for my dad's day. He said, but I see a day where believers are functioning just like those guys did in the 50s. So we have been brought up not to have tent meetings, but everywhere we go, we have the potential for that kind of miracles to happen in our lives. Because Jesus said, if we believe on him, the works that he did, we'll do also. If we believe on him. So if I'm not having that happen in my life, I'm not believing on him. I'm believing on my call, my grace, my anointing. It's not about my grace, my call, my anointing. It's about him. He hasn't changed. Oh, come on. Has he changed? No, he's the same, isn't he? Come on. Yesterday, today, and forever. I was telling you last night, we're in the meeting. I was preaching in Colorado. Germany had a little baby, a little 9-year-old that was healed of epilepsy, and two different ladies that had AIDS were healed in the same line. Using the name of Jesus. Didn't sense the anointing, didn't feel anything. Just using the name of Jesus. Got the ladies' names. We're going to put it in the book, you know. Actually, we're going to put it in that magazine over there. And they were too afraid to put their names in there because they had AIDS. But God's so good and so overwhelming, God's not overwhelmed with AIDS. Amen. So grab your Bibles. That was a long introduction, wasn't it? Dear Lord, here we go. We're going all night. Here we go. Buckle up. Here we go. Food will be here and drinks will be here in a moment. So here we go. All right. Go to the Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse number 6. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 6. He that says that he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now, that's a long way of saying if God's in you, it'll change the way you walk. If you say that He's in you, you'll walk what? Just like He walked. Wow, that's radical. Now, how'd Jesus walk? Everywhere He went, people were set free. You never see Jesus going, everybody bless me, everybody bless me. No, everywhere Jesus went, He was a blessing. Now, the church has to get it in the last days. It's not about getting the power to you. It's about getting it through you. We've had 40-some-odd years how to get it to us. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's good for us, but this whole thing is about us being a vessel. We've learned all that so that we can walk in such a degree of peace and being so free that you got the answer for everybody. Because here He says if He's in you, it'll make you walk just like He walked. Well, if you want to really look it up, it's the same word from John 14 that you do the same. You can set Jesus' walk up and yours is parallel to Him. That you can't tell the difference. Now in Luke chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 10, Jesus authorized the 12. And guess how long it took them to do His works? Instantly. He just gave them authority, and they started functioning just like Jesus. Well, you say, well, that was the 12. That was the 12 traveling with Him. Well, then you go to Luke chapter 10. He authorized the 70, and guess what happened to them? They were so freaked out, they said, everywhere we go, the devils are subject to us in Your name, and we got miracles just like You did. He goes, "That's of course you do." He goes, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then John said in Luke 9, we saw a guy doing miracles in Your name, and he doesn't even travel with us. And the Lord said, hey, if He's not against us, He's with us. That guy hadn't even been authorized, but he had enough brains to see what worked. So he took one key and functioned just like Jesus. Wow. How long did he wait to start functioning like Jesus? Instantly. So here, we in the last day church, we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We keep waiting for something to happen in our life. Jesus gave them one key, and they instantly start demonstrating just like Him. So here, John says, if He's in you, it changes your walk to be just like Him. So let's go look at it. Hang with me. Just run with me just a little bit. Everybody cut me a little bit of slack? Go to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Or chapter 10. You pick out the chapter. We'll see if you're flowing. Look at Isaiah chapter 10, I think it is. Now, we've gotten into this before, but I want to get somewhere. Isaiah 10, look at verse 27. It's page 785 if you've got a Bible like mine. Look at Isaiah 10, look at verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, we've heard that verse 1,000 times. That was kind of on the Holy Hit Parade about 25 years ago. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And that's true. Jesus talked about that anointing that's on Him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But really, if you want to get technical, in Isaiah 11, He's talking about the millennium. He's talking about the yoke of the Antichrist on the nation of Israel at the end of the tribulation. And He's going to come back at the second coming and remove that burden from off their shoulder. Okay? So I want to show you a little bit more about what you carry. Okay? So go over to Thessalonians. Let's look at the New Testament version of this verse. Because that's good for Isaiah, but what about for us now? Go to Thessalonians chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry. First or second, one of the Thessalonians. They're all good. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is cool because you're going to get the New Testament version of what He had just said there in Isaiah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. So He talks about the second coming of the Lord. Then He talks about the rapture of the church. That you not soon be shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit or word nor by letter from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That's the word departure. It's not really a falling away from the faith. That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's talking about the Antichrist there. He's basically saying they thought they were in the tribulation. He said, don't worry. He can't be revealed until you leave. You have so much power that the Antichrist can't even show up until you depart. And that's, I don't have time to get into all that, but look what He says in verse 7. He's going to give you the New Testament version of what He said there in Isaiah. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then, here's the New Testament version of Isaiah, then shall that wicked be revealed, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. He's trying to show us what you're carrying on the inside of you is not a healing anointing, not a miracle anointing. It's a kingdom setting up anointing. Amen. Every room you walk into, that's what you're carrying in there. Now, at the second coming, Lucifer's so stupid, he's going to think he's going to beat Jesus. He thinks he's going to kill all the Jews, and Jesus is going to come back right there at the second coming and rescue them. And Lucifer's going to hit his knees and bow and say, he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. But how is he destroyed? Jesus doesn't negotiate with him. All he does is show up. He's obliterated with the brightness of his coming. Now, when Jesus told his disciples, some of you won't taste death until you see the kingdom coming, he went up on that high mountain, and all of a sudden he began to be transformed in front of them. We call it the transfiguration. All of a sudden, what Jesus really looks like began to radiate through his skin, began to come through his pores. You can't contain that. It's life everlasting. It's what made everything you see. Peter woke up and said, my God, let's build something. Let's build some tabernacles. The minute you start seeing what God's really like, it makes you be a builder and a planner. It makes you want to expand. So here he said in John, if he's in you, it makes you walk just like him. Now don't get mad at me. We've come to the time at the end of the church age to where it's almost a victim mentality. Well, my life has been rough. People romance the songs. It's just been rough. God's teaching me things through storms. God's not teaching you through storms. If he was teaching us through storms, he wouldn't tell you to rebuke the storm. And if he was teaching us through storms, we'd be glowing in the dark at night. No, he teaches us through his word. Circumstances are not there to teach you. But I hear that on TV all the time. Now, word of faith, guys, because they've gotten so beat up, they start talking about circumstances. Well, God's using that to mold you and shape you. No, you're complete in him. Now, that's for somebody. Come on, you're complete in him. And if that's true, let's go over in the parking lot and get run over by a car so we can just bless the Lord a little bit more and learn a little bit more. No, it makes no sense whatsoever. My daughter, not one time, how many of you, taking your kids to school, Whit, guess what? We're going to break your leg on the way to school so you can learn more today. No, that's insane. But yet our dad gets blamed like that every single day. So we've come to this kingdom for such a time as this, at the very end of the church age, we've got to show people Jesus. And he said, if he's in you, you can display him. You can walk just like he walked. Now, the early church didn't have all the components that you and I have, but they had two keys. They had authorization and they had presence. Right here, we're talking about this presence. So go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 11. Have something I want to get into for just a minute. Just takes me a minute to build my case for it, okay? Look at Romans chapter 13. And I know you know this, but I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm leading up to something. What's cool about Romans 13? It's right after Romans 12. It's amazing, these numbers and stuff. So what happened in Romans 12? He told you to give up your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. He tells you something you can do right now in the flesh to make those hidden things of your heart start manifesting. And he talks about the hidden graces. He said, why? Because if you give up your life as a living sacrifice, you don't complain. And, oh, but I can't believe I'm going to talk about this, but hang with me. There's one thing that kept Israel out of the will of God was their murmuring, their irritability. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't murder. It was irritability. Wow. So God had to go to the Gentiles because he got tired of the Jews complaining. Read it. Read Romans 11 and 12. He said the gifts and the callings of outward repentance, irrevocable. So he's going to come back and pour the spirit of supplication out on the Jews. But thank God they complained because he raised us up. Amen. So why? Because if you go to a funeral, I've never heard anyone at a funeral. If, say someone's at a funeral. Have you ever seen them complain about their suit? No, there's no murmuring. So that's why I said give up your life, body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So he tells us that, then skips over to chapter 13, and let's look at that. Chapter 13, verse number 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk in honestly in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envying. I like this. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We think of that, and we think of petty things. He's not talking about what we think he's talking about. He's talking about don't be murmuring and complaining. Don't make provision for the flesh. Now, if you can make provision for the flesh, you can flip it around, and you can do some things to make provision for the Spirit. God lives in you.
You're a carrier of him. What can you do in 2018 to make a doorway or make provision for him or make it easy for him to flow through you? Remember the old song, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, set captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Most people are damned Christians because something's damming up that river. He's there, but something's clogging it up. And it's usually not adultery. How many tried to murder somebody on the way to church tonight? No, most people aren't trying to do that, but they'll let little things hold them back. Basically, it's unbelief. I guess I'll go preach out here. I'm going to find somebody. Anybody want? I'll preach out in the parking lot. Good to see you. Bless you. No, it's not really murder or adultery. It's just plain unbelief. People don't really think that God can use them that way. Hey, yeah, you guys out in the parking lot, come on in. You should be in church. It's nice out. God bless you guys. Come on in. No, there's this thought pattern that we've thought that God was so weak that if we didn't walk flawlessly, he couldn't use us. He's not talking about being flawless there. He's talking about making a doorway for God to use you. And normally, it's right teaching. We've been taught so much wrong stuff that I can't qualify for this, and he's not talking about you. When you're praying for someone in the name of Jesus, you start thinking about, did I pray enough? Did I study enough? It's not about you. It's about him. It's about the name. So here, he's trying to get us into a thought pattern of walking just like him. So make provision. All provision means is you're thinking ahead. You know, how many of you, if you go camping, you think ahead. You take gear with you. If you go hunting, you take gear with you. Now, I don't get to duck hunt much anymore, but I have an over and under. I have a 12-gauge pump. I got shotgun shells. I got a 9mm. I got a 45. I got a 40 caliber. I got a 25 caliber. So if a hunt broke out, I got stuff. In other words, if all of a sudden, hunt! I wouldn't go, oh my God, what do I do? No, man, I got the shells, I got the guns, I got the clothing. So I've made provision. But if revival broke out tomorrow, have you made provision for the Spirit? He said, don't be misinformed about the 9 different rivers. How many of you know all 9 different definitions of the gifts of the Spirit? Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Oh, I guess I'll go preach outside. That didn't go real good. Start the car. I'll be right there. Here we go. No, I'm talking about a mindset to learning to cooperate with God, making provision for the Spirit, because you're not done at the rapture. If we were stopped at the rapture, we'd go, well, man, let's go for it right now, but then we're done. You're not done. You've got a whole 1,000 years to keep operating in this. So I want to go through some points really fast. What you can do in 2018 that makes this automatic. The early church in Luke 9 and Luke 10 that we talked about, when they were authorized, they didn't go, oh my God, this is so complicated. We're going to function like him. How in the world are we going to do that? I was taught all my life, you got to travel with Shambach, got to travel with Hagin, got to travel with all these guys and get that anointing on you. You got somebody traveling with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All right, so let's go a little further. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Everybody with me? Let's go through a couple of points really quick, and it'll make you make it easy. What we're trying to make it is, if I can function like him and walk like him, let's make that happen. If A.A. Allen could do it, and he didn't know the word like you know the word, I mean, dear Lord, if you watch the videos, you'd go, how is this guy having this many miracles? Thank God it was a move of God. What was it tied to? Israel becoming a nation. He had a reciprocal move in the church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know the chapter. If you got your Bible there, it's I'll see what page it is. It's page 220. All right, so let's talk about these for a minute. If we're going to make provision for this or make a thought pattern that everywhere you go, this can happen to you. Not to where it happens to Brother Hagin, not to Brother Shambach, to all of us. Because Jesus said if we believe on him, we do these things. So here in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the 9 different manifestations of the Holy Ghost. He talks about power rivers, vocal rivers. Revelation rivers, what are those for? They're harvesting tools. He doesn't even call them gifts. Look at verse 1. Man, I can't believe we're going to get into this much detail, but hang with me. Chapter 12, verse 1. You okay? Everybody with me? Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant or misinformed. The word gifts is in italics. So I looked up the word spiritual there. It means some of the appointed activities of the Holy Ghost in the church. Don't be misinformed. Because if you're misinformed about it, you draw back away from it. In other words, you'll go, well, Mary Frank can do that, but I can't do that. That's what we. That's basically what we say. His brother so-and-so can do that, but I can't do that. He said, concerning these nine different rivers, don't be misinformed, because if you're misinformed, you kind of back away. Now, it's just like the military. In the military, the general doesn't have all the stuff. He signs paperwork. The guys out in the field have all the shells, have the bazookas, have the cannons. The believer is supposed to have more in operation than prophets, apostles, and teachers. If you keep reading here from verse 12 to verse 23, he talks about the parts of the body that we don't give honor to and don't see. Like right now, you don't go, Joe's aortic arch is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Look at his valves. They're so cool. No, we don't talk about things we can't see. We're so into the things that we can see. And God spent more verses on the parts of the body we don't see operating like this, like they're supposed to. So let's don't be misinformed. So he goes through all of them. I don't have time to go through all of them, but you know, working of miracles, special faith, gifts of healings, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, those are all activities of the Holy Ghost. So the more we know about them, the easier it is to yield to him. Because we go, that's not weird, I can handle that. Because bless his heart, he's been lumped into the weird crowd. It seemed like we had to be like this before we could operate in that. I saw Catherine Kuhlman when I was a kid, and I thought, man, I'm not weird enough to operate like that. You know what I'm saying? It was all equated with weirdness. Don't get mad at me. You know, even Benny Hinn, I tell you, every single one of you under the sound of my voice. No, God's going to use your personality like you are. You don't have to be weird to be used of God. I thought that for a while, but no. So here he says, don't be misinformed. Then he finishes up the chapter with the last verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Verse 31, I believe it is. Covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. So my first point is to covet it. And that sounds so weird. It just means to earnestly desire it. Now, and a better word would be crave. I've talked about it here many times. I crave Diet Coke. I'm a Diet Coke addict. I mean, I'm a Diet Coke freak. I got the refill from Jim and Nick's, took the refill back to my room, poured a fresh Diet Coke over that refill, and enjoyed that precious beverage. Now, I know I'm addicted, so everybody freaks out about being addicted to Diet Coke, but you know what? I love it. I've got to have it. I mean, it's bad. I was preaching in the Ukraine, and I got some Diet Coke. This is right when the wall went down. I stayed in this little house, and the guy was cutting down trees to have firewood to heat the house up, and then the power went out, so the refrigerator didn't work anymore. So the Diet Coke I had, I sat out on the edge of the deal there. I came out the next morning. They had frozen. They exploded. I wept openly. I cried. I mean, I was traumatized. I cried like a baby. I mean, it's probably embarrassing. I was like, my Diet Coke is gone because I got to have it. See, I've gotten so to where I'm weird without it. I plot at getting more Diet Coke. Well, now, if I can be that way about Diet Coke, I should be that way about the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, get to where you're irritable if he's not used you. Wigglesworth will go out on the edge of town and go, I'm not going to bed till you use me, Lord. He'd wait there on the edge of town going, Lord, you think I'm going to go to bed and you haven't used me to get somebody saved? The Holy Ghost would go, that carriage right over there. He'd walk over to that carriage and get the guy born again right there. He got accustomed to it. Get so accustomed to God using you that you're irritable if he's not. That's coveting earnestly best gifts. You know, I was preaching in Boston years ago, Jonathan Del Turco's church. And we was on Gifts of the Spirit on Tuesdays and Thursday nights in the school there. Gosh, this is 25 years ago. And, you know, people are tired. They've been working all day because they've come from work and they come to Bible school. And, I mean, I'm spinning plates. I'm juggling. I'm doing everything to keep everybody awake. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's tired. They've committed to school but not really excited about it. They're not going, oh, yeah, preach it, Brother Joe. It's all over there sitting there like this. So, man, I'm spinning plates. I'm throwing stuff. I'm doing whatever, trying to keep people with me, you know. Because if you'll stay with you, you actually can have some anointing. I'll come preach to you, buddy. I'm glad you came, man. See, what happens is when that corporate anointing wanes like there, the preacher has to plow. And after a while, you get tired of plowing, so you'll sword swallow if it'll get the people with you. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have a sword that night, but I would have tried it if I could have figured out how to do it. So I'm preaching along on gifts of the Spirit, and everybody's sleeping. And the Holy Ghost says there's a woman there that was raped as a child and sent her in her marriage. I said, Lord, don't tell me that. I'm here to teach a class. Let the pastor deal with that. You know what I'm saying? That's radical. I don't want to do that. So I kind of, you know, ignored it and fought it off a little bit and kept teaching. I finished teaching the class. The bell rang. Everybody bolted because they probably went to get a Diet Coke. You know? I mean, the second that bell rang, they were gone. Came back in the next hour, and I started preaching again. He's the same yesterday, today. I'm doing whatever. Trying to keep everybody awake. And I hadn't called that out yet. And the lady on the staff over here on the side of the church, she waved her arm like this. You couldn't miss it. She goes like this. I go, yeah, what is it? She goes, are you ever going to allow the Holy Spirit to use you the gifts of the Spirit in these classes? I says, well, as a matter of fact, I had something last hour, but I didn't call it out. I said, there's a woman here. You were raped as a child. I said, people have had all kinds of bad things happen to them, but this specifically is hindering your marriage. I said, I don't want you to raise your hand when I begin to prophesy about the Lord changing that woman's life, that her life would never be the same after that night, how God would set her free. And picked right back up and went to teach and finished my lesson. Finished the lesson, and you know how you kind of stand around at the end of a service. Pastor Del Turco came there with Verna, his wife. Jonathan was standing there, and that woman that was on the staff, she came walking down with her husband. She said, I'm the woman that had that happen as a kid. We've been going to Pastor Del Turco for counseling because it was hindering her marriage right there. And she told God, I'm not leaving the building until I get set free, to the point that she raised her hand and said, are you ever going to allow the Holy Ghost to use you in these gifts? Now, see, that's a little bit selfish, but what would happen if as a whole church, Brother Hagin talked about Brother Halverson's church, come on, Brother Goodwin's church, there were only a couple churches he could function like he's supposed to because people had that kind of thought pattern. What if we all said, God, we're not doing nothing until we get done what heaven wants to get done right now? Now, see, that makes provision. There's many things that make provision, but that's a good one, the craving it. You got humility, you got hunger. Those are things for revival. The reason why it's hard for God to do things right now, he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We've kind of gotten that deal. I got friends that have one miracle and they start walking different. Well, they start walking like this. Oh, yeah. I had a miracle last week. Oh, yeah. Kind of like Barney Fife. It's just like it. Oh, yeah. I had a lady healed last week. I'm going to start kind of doing this. Like, seriously? It's like the donkey riding into Jerusalem. It's not the donkey. It's who's riding on the donkey. Come on. So you got all these little things that are hindering things, but we don't want to get into that. We want to do things that make no hindrances. So crave it. Hunger it. That woman hungered it so much that it stopped the service. Wow. And God had already told me that before she raised her hand. It's pretty radical. But look there, he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. What's the excellent way? Chapter 13. What's chapter 13 all about? Love. Love. So you can do something that supersedes craving it, and that's walking in love so much. You think, well, Brother Joe, I've heard all about love. Well, good for you. Here's a cookie. But anyway, you can get to where you're so unselfish. We think of walking in love as not hitting somebody back. He's talking about a lifestyle of unselfishness to where you're consistently thinking of others. We live in the Seinfeld generation. I've talked enough about myself. Now you talk about me. Come on. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just the way we're so consumed with ourselves. When you go to a restaurant, the first thing I try, this is something I try to do to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. When we walk into a restaurant, the lady that's going to seat us, I'll first of all start thinking, what does she need, Lord? Do you need me to say something to her? What is it about her life that you could change right now? I don't walk in and go, where's my table? Where's my seat? Where's my food? Where's my blah, blah? What would maybe happen to the... Brother Shambach used to do this because you always be kind to waitresses. He said, I can judge what someone's like by how kind they are to waitresses. The selfishness of people. Go get me this or go get me that. No, thank you. Thank you for bringing me a Diet Coke. Bless you for bringing me a big Diet Coke. Thank you for bringing me a huge Diet Coke. Amen. All right, so just walking in love, walking in unselfishness. I know you said, well, I know all about that, Brother Joe. No, I'm talking about the first record of prayer we have in the New Testament is when Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Wow. What does that do? Shut your flesh up. Your flesh wants to kick back. My flesh gets involved when I'm driving. You know what I'm saying? When people drive below the speed limit, I go, are we on some kind of tour? What's wrong here? The speed limit's 50 and we're going 35. I get in the flesh. Well, see, walking in love makes my flesh go, shut up, Joe. That person might like to drive slow, even though the speed limit is a lot more than they're going. And they could be going a lot faster, but they're driving very, very slow. God bless them. Let's pray for them, not get mad at them. So, see, we think of the things in the flesh, walking in love, we think of that not striking back at someone. No, it's telling your flesh to shut up. What does that do? It makes provision for the Spirit. You can train your flesh to shut up because your flesh wants its own way all the time. It's good to do some things that don't give it its way. That doesn't go real good, but anyway, it's true. All right, so let's go a little further. Go to the Gospel of John, because I got to give you these points real quick. Number one was crave it. Number two, love. Number three is the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Actually, we were talking about it at lunch today. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. Run with me there for just a moment, because I want to give you a couple more of these, and we'll close. I won't keep you all night. You guys are so easy to preach to. Maybe we'll sing something off our greatest hits album. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. Man, I can't even find John. What's up with this? Here we go. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. This is so cool, because watch this. Watch what happens to Jesus' life. that instantly something happens to transform him, okay? So he hadn't done any miracles from 13 to 30. Knew who he was, must be about my father's business. 17 years of preparation. Wow, 17 years, Son of God, doesn't do any miracles until he's baptized in the River Jordan with the Holy Spirit. So he's waiting for equipment to start doing it. So here in John 2, look at verse 1. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto him, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Don't you love this? That Jesus' mom is going to get him to start in his ministry before he's even supposed to do it. Doesn't that sound like a mom? Sounds exactly like my mother. Well, the mother, she does something that transforms Jesus' ministry. She says, whatever he says to you, do it. My third point is obedience. Obedience got Jesus. The Bible says this was the beginning of him showing forth his glory. Everybody has to have a beginning. It's there, but something triggered. All of a sudden, the water turned into wine. That was the beginning of what? Him showing forth his glory. That's the same word in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the manifestation of the Spirit, a showing forth of the Spirit. Now, why is that a big deal? Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered. He was over the throne right there. He was the cherub that was over the Ark of the Covenant at the beginning of the throne. The Bible said he was clothed in pipes and tabrets and had stones everywhere. The radiance of God would shoot through Lucifer, and all those stones would brighten up, and he got to thinking, check that out. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. It wasn't him. It was who's behind him. Okay, so when you start manifesting his glory, you're doing originally what Lucifer did. He can't stand that. So the devil's taught the church, you can't manifest that stuff you have on the inside of you. Because the devil's a liar, pants on fire. And here Jesus, this was the beginning of him manifesting forth his glory. Now how do you get there? Obedience. Do whatever the Lord tells you to do. My mom, the Holy Ghost goes, you need to call your mom. I call my mom, she goes, I just told the Lord to have you call me. Man. A couple weeks later, the Lord goes, you need to call your mom. I call my mom. She goes, I just told the Lord to have you call me. Wow, Lord, you're trying to keep me in good graces with my mom, you know. But if I won't do that, how am I going to do the other stuff? I remember a service I was in. I've told you the stories before. I was in a service in Charleston, Illinois. I was with all these big-name preacher guys. Ross Roberts had brought them all there. And I didn't want to preach, and Ross made me preach. And I had a word of knowledge at the end, and Ross was holding the microphone for me. You know how you have your handheld mics, you know? I had a word of knowledge, and then the woman had a growth in her breast. I called it out, said, there's a lady here, you got a growth. The Lord wants to heal you. All of a sudden, special faith came on me. I felt it, man. Ross is standing there holding the microphone for me like this, and that lady came walking up, and the Holy Ghost came on me. And that's gifts of the Spirit, special faith, not ordinary faith. The Lord said, tell her to go to the bathroom right now and pour water on that growth, and it'll disappear right in front of her eyes. The woman did like Brother Hagin talked about. She blinked at me like a frog in a West Texas hailstorm. She went like that. She goes, what? I said, you go to the bathroom and you pour water on that growth. Take a lady with you to witness it. When you pour water on that growth, it'll disappear right in front of your eyes. I said, go! And Ross, right in my ear like this, he goes, in my ear, he goes, oh my God. There goes the budget for the meeting right there. And when she walked off, I kind of started going, meh, 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 meh. I started making animal noises. I just told a lady to go pour water on herself. How crazy is that? Well, see, that's not my faith. That's special faith. But you know, whatever the Lord tells me to do, I'm going to do it. The lady's name was Ramona Lindsay. She was the prayer leader for that church. She came walking through the back door, kind of like a corner over there. She waved her hand like that. She said, I poured that water on that growth. Disappeared right in front of my eyes. Well, I've never done that since then. Probably never will do that. But whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care if it gets everybody mad. Now, live, don't get anybody mad. Don't offend anybody. Wimps! Weak! The guy I used to work for. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Oh, gosh. Woo! I'd rather go to a John Wayne movie than go to a dead church. At least you know John Wayne's going to win. Come on. And now we've been brought up full of the Word, and now we're all, oh, you relax. Don't make sure you don't offend anybody. Make sure nobody's got their feathers ruffled. You don't want anybody to be freaked out in church. It's time for some people to get freaked out in church. Well, I've never done that, but whatever the Lord tells me to do, I try to be kind about it. I mean, I've never gone, well, I'm going to beat you up with this. I'm going to try to give the Word to you. I was in a service in Mattoon, Illinois. It had a step up just like this in the church. I was just there a few months ago. The guy was still there. The guy was there, this happened to. He was in a truck wreck. I saw a semi-truck that didn't have a trailer on it. You know how it has a little thing where the trailer hooks up in the back? I saw this truck rear-end him like this and split his truck bed wide open like that. Split his chair wide open. I saw his back split wide open. I saw his spine stick out of the flesh of his skin bleeding everywhere. I saw the bones sticking out of his back. That's a word of knowledge. I said, come on down here, the Lord will heal you. This guy come walking down. He's been over just like this. Tears are hitting the carpet while he's walking down like that. He couldn't believe the Lord would call out exactly what happened to him. I goes, what happened? He goes, I was rear-ended by another semi. Split my truck in half. Split my back in half. He said, I've been taking medicine. I can't get any relief. The Lord said, tell him to lay down on the floor right there. I was like, okay. I said, buddy, lay down on the floor. He looked at me like I was crazy. His name's Tim. I saw him just a couple months ago. I said, buddy, lay down on the floor. He laid down on the floor. The Lord told me to get up on the stage and jump off on his back. I got off and just went airborne like that. Went, ka-wham! And he goes, oh! I thought, oh, my God, I just broke his back. I got off, and he started doing the chicken and swan. I started kind of going, kind of doing like that. I said, how you doing, buddy? He goes, my God, I'm healed. I did those meetings in the FEM camp meeting every single year. I'd say, Tim, stand up, tell everybody what happened to you. He goes, well, you jumped off the stage, landed on my back. I said, well, what was the fruit of it? He said, I didn't have any more back pain from that point on. Okay, obedience. Whatever he tells, as crazy as that is, I'll never do that before, never do it again. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to do, but that's crazy. But see, we live in a day where we're so concerned about what people are going to think about us. Crave it. Walk in love. Obedience. All right, what's my next point? I'm closing right here. I've gone a long time, almost gone an hour. Hang with me. Everybody with me for a couple more minutes? I'll do like Bruce Black. Anybody, give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, no. I'm so sorry. I won't do that. 35 minutes. Okay, hang with me just a second, okay? I can quote John 14. Remember, my Father's house are many mansions, if not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And Philip goes, Lord, we've been so long time with you. Show us the Father. He said, if I've been so long time with you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? He said, I'm in my Father's, the Father's in me, or else believe for the work's sake. If you believe on me, the works that I do, shall you do also? Greater works than these shall you do, because I go on my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comfort. He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because he seeth not near another. You know him, if he dwells with you, he shall be in you. I can quote John 14, but I can't quote John 13. Guess what happened in John 13? He got down and washed their feet. Not saying you have to have a foot washing service. No, have a servant's heart. Live to serve. Live to give your life for other people. There's something about serving. Now, hang with me. It makes provision. Most people aren't trying to murder anybody on the way to church. Most people aren't trying to commit adultery on the way to church. At least I hope not. But it's the little things about giving up your life. We have a tendency to be real precious about our time. Well, that's my time. Well, good. Then you can give your time. Well, that goes over real good. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. No, how many of you thought, this is fun, how many of you thought that your parents had you just to do yard work? I was certain that they plotted to have me to be their slave. You know what I'm saying? I knew it. I hated it. Hated every second of it. Mowing the grass, and my mom was into flower beds, man. Getting the weeds out of the flower beds. My mom was a flower bed psycho. So, you know, when I went to Bremen, I went to Bible school, I had traveled a couple summers with Mark Brzee. So when I get there, this is 1980. I'd gone a couple summers in 78, 79. So I get to Bible school. I'm young. I'm 17. And I'm enjoying Bible school. And I had this thought maybe to go over and check on Mark and Janet's yard because they were in South Africa. I thought, well, I'll go over and check on their house. You know, they didn't ask me to. So I go over there to their house, and, of course, the grass was this high. I thought, oh, my God, what seed did I sow to reap this? Of all the things in the world, I don't hate mowing the grass. I loathe it. So, of course, I mow the grass, get the grass off the sidewalk, you know, cut a nice edge for them. They got back from South Africa. Man, this looks so cool. It's so nice. Let's do some flower beds. Amen. Flower beds. Yeah, let's do a few flower beds. Yeah. So, I mean, the very thing, I didn't cuss, but everywhere I spit, the grass caught on fire, okay? I'm telling you, man, the thing that I hate, I loathe, God goes, oh, guess what you're going to do for 5 years to get ready for the ministry? Mow and keep flower beds. Oh, get thee behind me, Satan. Come on. I thought, what seed did I sow? So there's something about, he wants you to give up your life. Come on. It's not rocket scientists, but I actually had to do something I didn't want to do. You know, when I traveled with Ed Dufresne, I'd be in the prayer line helping him. The tangible anointing would be so amazing. If I didn't think about sports, I'd fall out of the power. If I got in neutral, I'm on the floor. I had to consciously think about sports or the power of God would knock me on my can. And I'd tell guys at Rhema, they'd go, hey, we want to come over. Listen. They go, we want to come over and be around that anointing because it's so tangible. Mark said it's more tangible than Kenneth Hagin's anointing. I mean, you could get close to him. It's like getting close to a heater. I would go back to the hotel and put my hands on the air conditioning because my hands burned so bad. So the guys would call and say, hey, I want to be around that anointing. I said, well, come over and help me unload the truck. Guess how many people came over and helped me unload the truck? Zero. So it's not about sophistication to cooperate with God or going through cooperating with God class. It's about doing some things that are super simplistic of sowing your life. Live to get, live to serve. Have a servant's heart. There's something about it. I know we all know this, but what does it do? It makes provision. I told you we'd get into something tonight that makes it automatic. It makes provision. To this day, I don't have to worry about, is there a tangible anointing? It's there. I don't have to work it up. If I pray a lot in the afternoon, if I don't pray a lot in the afternoon, it's still there. Did you earn it? No, I didn't earn it. I was just crazy enough to show up. So there's something about putting your flesh under to actually do something that you don't like to do. That's what he was talking about in Romans 12 and Romans 13. Because I know no one in here wants to murder anybody. Right, Noel? I'm thinking he doesn't want to murder. No, come on, Noel. I mean, you know, you work with people, and you know how people are people. But we've got to walk in love. We got to crave these things, and we got to have a servant's heart. Be the guy at the office that's always helping everybody else out, and not get any credit for it, and watch and see the rewards you get in heaven. Oh, come on, man. The Lord will go. Check this out. He'll set this gold crown on you that's clear as crystal. And you'll go, that's kind of weighty. He'll go, well, that's just the start. And then he'll put these sashes on your arms that'll swing around your arms. And they'll be indicative of your faithfulness in the earth. And then underneath that, you'll have another layer of stuff that'll show when you gave your life when nobody else wanted to do it. Nobody else would do that. And he'll go, and when people see you in the next dispensation, they'll go, wow, you served, you gave your life, you did this, you did that. Because your uniform will preach for you. You'll wear your faithfulness during that dispensation. Wow. You won't have to tell anybody, I did what I was supposed to do during the church age. They'll look at you and go, wow, you did what you're supposed to do during the church age. And I've preached it many times. You want to make sure you don't have a speedo bathing suit on during the millennium. You don't want the Lord going, here's your uniform. Giddy up. No. All right, so what are the points? Crave it. Walk in love. Obedience. And then a servant's heart. And the last point's prayer. You could preach for hours on that. But in Jude, he talked about praying in the Holy Ghost. It would do something. We talk about it building your tracks for your future. We talk about building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We talk about the strength it does. Really, in the Greek, it's the word construction. The guys there from the Bible school in Greece, they go, it's not like a building. It's a construction word. You're constructing your future. But really, the next verse there says it keeps you somewhere. It keeps you in the love of God. You can pray in tongues so much that people do things against you, it doesn't even faze you. That normally the response would be, I'm freaked out, I got to take a week off from work, I can't believe so-and-so did me wrong, and you get all freaked out. You pray in tongues so much, like, it doesn't even faze you. People do stuff to you, nah, no big deal. Keeps you where? In the love of God. So we're talking about an unselfishness thought pattern, talking about a serving thought pattern, and notice no one ran around the room, not one time tonight, because it's not really exciting. You know, woo, preach it, Brother Joe, it's all over you, my God. No, we're talking about making provision for the Spirit. So it's not necessarily the funnest stuff to preach on, you know what I'm saying? I like to preach on the name of Jesus because, man, you can preach when you preach on that. But I want to preach. But the Lord wants to get us ready to finish the church age off. So everybody you run across this next week, start thinking, what do they need? What do you want me to say to them? How can I be a vessel? How can I be a blessing? And watch the Lord give you stuff. And I'm stopping right now. But that church in California, Bethel, it's kind of a crazy church, but they teach the young people how to yield to the Holy Ghost. 13-year-old girl had a word of knowledge, actually a word of wisdom. The Lord told her to go to the tattoo shop. You're going to get everybody saved. This is just a couple years ago. She goes over to 13. I wouldn't want my daughter going to the tattoo shop. She goes in the tattoo shop. She goes bebopping in there. She goes, I'm here to get everybody born again. The guy goes, you get out of here. Nobody here getting saved. All of a sudden, she has a word of knowledge. His phone rang. And she said, that's your wife wanting to reconcile your marriage. It was his attorney calling him saying, your wife wants to reconcile your marriage. Every single person in the tattoo shop got saved. Why? That's a thought pattern of making provision. That 13-year-old had been around people going, God's going to use me to get people saved. God's going to use me to get their attention. It's the amazing thing is you are the previews of the millennial reign of Christ. So, the best witness you have is your joy. That's why the Lord talks about the coming of the Lord, so you'll be happy. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You've got some wonderful things to look forward to. You're about to be caught up, about to get a glorified body, about to be in the presence of the Lord forever. It doesn't get cooler than that. He said, forever you'll be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But you got to go through the tribulation. That doesn't bring me comfort. No, that's a lie. The church has to depart so that the Antichrist can even be revealed. So wonderful, wonderful things ahead for your life. And you're living at the very last end of the church age, so there's some combustion things happening right here at the end. Normally you rev your engine to 3,000 or 4,000. This is where you go to 6,000 to 7,000. This is where you put your foot, the pedal to the metal. You're worried about your engine blowing. You don't worry about your engine blowing at the end of the race. You just do it. The white flag's gone out and you smoke it. I've never seen a guy go, oh, the last lap, let's cruise, let's be real conservative. Really? While all the other cars are going right past you. Now, even if I barely had enough gas and barely had enough engine, I'd have my foot all over the accelerator. I know this. He loves you so much. He appreciates you coming on Sunday nights. He wants you to know how close it is to his return. I can't even hammer this as hard as I can. You're about to see him face to face. Wow. Wow. Other generations would say that, and it'd be 50 years, 30 years. Ain't a lot of years left. I'm saying that, you're going to go like, I remember Crazy Joe screaming at me. I'm about to see him face to face. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we love you. We thank you for instruction in righteousness. We thank you for impartation tonight, Lord. We thank you for what we have on the inside of us, Lord. Help us cooperate with you. Help us do what we're called to do. And Lord, we thank you, just as Pastor Raj and Dana have had years of impartation to come to this point in their lives, we thank you for blessing them. This new season for their lives, Lord, new season for this church, Lord. Thank you for a boldness and a grace upon their lives. Great joy and great peace. We thank you for it. Even with Danny, Lord, thank you for the will of God for her life. We pray for her. We thank you for separating her for the work where you've called her for. Thank you for protecting her heart, protecting her soul, for what you've called her to do, Lord. We are so, so blessed to see everyone in this church doing the will of God. We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now, I preached way too long tonight. You guys are so sweet. You know, I didn't preach on end times, but I preached on how we're supposed to function before we leave. But I want you to get that in you, how close we are. Very close. And I guess I'll go ahead and sing that song. You know? it was shocked before we left. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise God. There's something the Lord told me right when I walked in. I just forgot what it was. So just give me a second. It'll come back to me. It's weird how that works. That will connect for a second. You know, I get thinking about time, and I know everybody's busy, so I get out of that spot, but it'll come right back. Let's worship Him for just a second. It'll come right back. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We magnify you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's somebody had damage in your tongue. You're being healed. I don't know if it's your taste buds. I don't know what it is. I've learned not to even ask. Amen. Your tongue. And I'm not talking about speaking the right words. I'm talking about physically wrong with your tongue. Just receive it. You're being healed. The other thing is the arches in your foot. Somebody's got some kind of damage on the bottom of your foot. And he's fixing your arches right now. Just take it. Take it. Praise God. The other day, I was in Cobbs Creek, Virginia, right by Chesapeake Bay. I had three words of knowledge for one guy. I said, you got trouble with your temperature, and you got trouble with speech. I couldn't believe it. I said, you got a speech impediment. And the other one was sinus damage. I just called it out real quick. I was in a hurry, you know, so I just started calling things out. I used to call everybody down, but I don't want to take too much time. Well, I called that out and didn't think anything about it. So you're healed. I called a bunch of other things out, you know. finished up, came back to the pastor's office. This usher, his head usher came down, probably about a 30-year-old man. He came walking down and the pastor goes, "I want my usher to talk to you." I go, "Yeah, what is it?" He goes, he started calling those things out. He said, "I had damage with my temperature in my body. I had to wear a vest with ice packs on my vest." And he said, "My sinuses were damaged, hurt all the way up into my head." He said, "I had all these injections to make it go away." And he goes, "I was the one with the speech impediment too." I go, "Well, you sound perfect. You talk perfectly." He goes, "I didn't before you called that out." Wow. Fixed his speech impediment, his temperature gauge, and his sinuses right there. Wow. His wife was bawling like a baby. At church in Iowa, called out, "Someone has damage." I've never even heard of this. I said, "You can't write." Never even heard of that. Monty Knutson's church. I said, "You can't write." I'm just calling things out on the platform. Finished service, called a bunch of other things out. You know, this young man walked up to me, probably 30 years old, boo-hooing. I thought I'd offended him or said something wrong, got him mad. He goes, "I've never been able to write my entire life." Told me the disease he had, like dyslexia. He said, "You called that out, and I wrote a poem about the coming of the Lord." Never written before in his life. God loves us so much. He wants you to be able to write. He wants you not to have to wear an ice pack on your vest. He just loves you. He loves you, loves you, loves you. Amen. Had a vision the other day in Corbin. I saw a man, his head bopped back in a car wreck. Called it out, and it was a guy addicted to drugs sitting right there. Got instantly healed. Oh, man. Wow. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Everybody you work around has got so many needs. You watch, God's going to start telling you. They got trouble with their pancreas. Can I pray for you? Got trouble with growths underneath your arm, your lymph nodes. He'll start telling you all kinds of stuff. He'll go, "Can I pray for you?" It doesn't have to be, "Thus saith the Lord." He can be, "Let me pray for you." You put your hand on them, command it to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank Him one more time. We'll go, "Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. We approach your throne, Lord, with such gratitude and thankfulness that you gave your life for us. Amazed at your mercy and your kindness that you love us so much. We're in awe of that. Thank you for blessing this congregation, Lord. Thank you for, as they go into the remainder of 2018, going into 2019, such a grace upon this church, Lord. We thank you for it. Great grace. We thank you for it. Wow. Almost like an engine pushing you to do the will of God. Be easy to finish your course. That's what that grace is, like a motor. Hey, thanks for coming tonight. That's so sweet of you to come. Pastor Roger, thank you for having me come. It's good to be with your family. Good to see the Pittmans, the whole crew here. Glad Noel's gotten saved a couple times in a row. We like that. Hadn't murdered anybody, have you? No? Okay. We're brothers, so we mess with each other. Thank you guys for being so easy to preach to. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Have a good fall, good Christmas, and be bold about obeying God all in the next year. We'll see the will of God unfold right in front of our eyes. Be very cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Yeah, Dr. Roger, thank you. Sure good to be with you. Thank you for coming tonight, too.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, before we dismissed, we didn't do it earlier. We did this morning. But I want to give you an opportunity to sow and be a blessing into Brother Joe's ministry. I mentioned the scripture this morning in Galatians chapter 6. It's our responsibility as we have opportunity to do good and to communicate to them who minister to us and whom God has called to go preach this wonderful and glorious gospel. So if you need an envelope tonight, just lift your hand. All this offering will be going to Brother Joe's ministry. Amen. You need an envelope? Praise the Lord. Amen. Over here, they need one, I think, over here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have this treasure in your earthen vessel? As he said, you're a carrier. Amen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is such a desire and an expectation and really such a need for the glory and the goodness of God to be demonstrated more and more to this world. And we're it. Praise the Lord. We are it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just sensed this in my spirit. I can't get away from it. While you were just talking just a second ago, he was calling out the words. But if you're here tonight, and maybe he didn't call out a specific thing for you, but if you have need in your body, is there anyone here that we can just, you know, why don't we act upon what we heard? So if there's anyone here, you need prayer for your body or would like that, just lift your hand. You stay right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to get up. Anyone? Be bold. Got right here? One? Got right here? Anybody else? Okay, we got a couple back here. Okay. Well, put your hands on them. Somebody put your hands on them. Get close to them. Put your hands on them. Right here. Praise the Lord. You know, he just got through quoting a scripture. And he said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also." He just got through quoting a scripture that is the will of God for our lives. Amen. That the Holy Spirit desires to manifest himself through us. Amen. And we're the carriers of his life and his glory. Put your hands on their body and just speak through their body. Say, "In the name of Jesus, I declare health and healing. I command all infirmity. I command all sickness and disease to depart and leave this body now in Jesus' name. I speak life and wholeness to every cell, to every tissue of every cell, to every organ. I speak life and health and wholeness to the blood in this body, to every nerve in this body, every bone in Jesus' name. I call this body redeemed, purchased and bought, delivered and set free from the enemy. Every symptom must bow its knee and remove itself in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Now let's just thank the Lord right now. Lord, we thank you. Yes, you are good. You are good, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We declare life and wholeness and health in this place. We thank you that this which has been spoken even here. You know, Joe, I was telling you about Larry and Angela. They were here with us about a year or so ago. Come through on a Wednesday night. And the Spirit of God moved on Larry and Angela. They began to operate in tongues and interpretation together. They began to speak, and one of the things they said about the place, this church, they said, one of the things here, there'd be a stepping up, and they mentioned about healing, and they said it literally would be like a pool of Bethesda, where people can come, and people can even walk in, and they would be healed. We mix faith with that. We believe that. We receive that. We thank God for that here. We're not excluded. We're included. Hallelujah. And we thank God for healing in this place. Healing in these bodies tonight. For these bodies, your bodies, have been bought with a price. So therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that you glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody got their everything? Well, y'all can pass those buckets out. Praise the Lord. Joe, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you coming and spending time with us. And we just, from here, we want you to send our love to Colleen. Tell her how much we appreciate her sending you out. As well as other places, being a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all good? We all can stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I bless you. Father, I bless them. I bless the people. I speak grace and peace over them in Jesus' name as they go. I thank you that your favor, your goodness and mercy shines upon their way. I thank you for ordering their steps this week. I thank you for the supply of your Spirit in their lives. I thank you for wisdom, understanding, revelation. I thank you for ease. I thank you for strength. I thank you for provision in their lives. And I thank you, as was ministered here tonight, I thank you for the life and the light that flows through them to this world and to others this week. And I thank you that we'll be mindful as we go of others and the needs of others. And we thank you, Lord, that you will manifest your savor by us, through us, in every place that we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.